and our intention translates through into our action. Right? So it doesn't remain in the realm of the abstract, becomes a very real life. And this is the Bodhisattva precepts, one of the translations of them. Beings are numberless. I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to transform them. Reality is boundless. I vow to perceive it. The awakened way is insurpassable. I vow to embody it. Beings are numberless. I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. Have you ever noticed that? Even in our own mind? Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to transform them. Reality is boundless. Maybe you've had glimpses of that at times in your life. Or maybe on some level you know it. It's true. Reality is boundless. I vow to perceive it. The awakened way is insurpassable. I vow to embody it. This is one of the things that makes sense. So today feels like only just begun to talk about this theme. It's bigger than I realized when I started reflecting on it, motivation and inspiration. There are many more things that motivate us other than death and impermanence, right? I know that. The sense of possibility. Sometimes we really get that from the inside. There's a sense of something really possible in this life. The reflection on the luminous mind, that the mind actually is already awake. It's just that we're gripped by the defilement, the delusion. We don't see the radiant, open nature of our own mind. It's actually here. We don't have to go somewhere else for that. Many, many things motivate and inspire us. Know them and translate them into intention and action. So we keep this really alive. We keep the cooker alive. So we're not kind of finding ourselves on a retreat 4 days in thinking, what's all this about? Right? We stay really alive with our own motivation. And keep it personal. Someone in the group was saying, yeah, there's a real longing for stillness. I touch it, and then it goes away, but there's something about it I love. Right? Whatever is real for you, whatever is the most real for you, keep it alive. It may change over time. We have to update and get current with ourselves because we change. We have this, what appears quite peculiar, I think, to the ordinary mind, and yet is something very real and realizable, which is that realization of this awakened mind is actually here and now. It's not further along. It's right here. It's not something that you have to get better for or be more perfect for. That's something that's always realizable here and now, right? And we have the path of cultivation. And cultivation, if we think about it, takes place in time. If you plant seeds, you have to water them and wait for the sun to shine. And those things bear fruit in time, and that very much has a trajectory in time. Right? And actually both these things are true. Both these things are true. There is a path of cultivation where it really makes sense to reflect on our motivation, our inspiration, so we get to the cushion, so we cultivate the mind, not to become someone better, not to try and fix my personality. Luckily, we've freed up from that. We don't have to do that work. But to cultivate more and more what is true. That can always happen. That's ongoing. And we can wake up here and now and recognize here and now these glimpses of reality as boundless. as knowable to us in this way. So I want to finish, I mean that's a whole, again another whole day long, to look at those two orientations, and some paths emphasize more one than the other. You probably hear that if you've been around the spiritual circuit a little bit. Both important, and actually not two separate things when we really get to the heart of it. So that said, that may sound a little cryptic, but that said, it's a kind of little forerunner to the blessing that I want to make at the end of our day of practice together, which is from Kenpo Rinpoche, great Tibetan teacher. Sometimes, in fact, somebody said yesterday, I was teaching similar material yesterday in Richmond to a small group, and somebody said, but it sounds very dualistic. When you say, I vow to save all beings, it sounds like there's you over here and there's all beings over there, and you know, it sounds like I'm going to do it, right? And surely, she said, surely as you more and more realize that this, the emptiness of self, it's not a sense of me saving all beings, right? So how can you say, I vow to save all beings? And actually the language is just a convention, it doesn't really matter what we say if it gets us here, if it kind of gets us to the cushion. But there's an interesting thing, so this beautiful blessing from Kenpo where he says, free from all conceiving of self and other, I dedicate the merit of my day of practice to all beings, that they may be free of suffering. Free of any conceiving, the mind conceives of self and other in this very dualistic way. Free of all conceiving of self and other, I vow to save all beings. Maybe you can sense the place where they come together, or maybe not, doesn't matter. Free of all conceiving of self and other, may our efforts together today, your dedication, your courage for many, your love of the practice, your steadfastness of just hanging in there, whatever it took for you to come and stay, may that be for your benefit, whether that ripens here and now or whether it ripens further along the great way. And may it be for the benefit of all beings in all directions, those you love and those you don't. May all beings receive the benefits of our practice, and may all beings receive the benefits of our life. I don't really need a bell. That was like a bell, wasn't it? I'll pass you over to Gary.
Thank you, Catherine.